Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This week, we're talking about Red Bull's upcoming production hypercar, a very chaotic brand launch for a used parts dealer, the cops were called, and Toyota's plans to take on the Mazda Miata. We'll also be talking about the impending death of the Carolina Squad, and if that wasn't enough to send good old boys into despair nationwide, NASCAR's potential move to hybrids?
What?
Welcome to the Big Three! Hello, everyone.
Hey.
I said everyone because I was going to say everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone.
That sounds like a McDonald's slogan or something.
Everyone.
Hey, good. Don't use that, McDonald's. That's ours.
That's Joe Weber, Max Maddox.
Howdy, y'all.
My name is Nolan Sykes. Welcome back to the Big Three, everybody. I feel, I don't know what to do my arms right now.
Yeah. Don't you wish you could take your arms off when you go to sleep?
Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about some maladies that we got going on, but I feel like that's pretty boring
to start the show. Oh, man. It must be like Mercury and retrograde or something. I don't know what they say, but.
What is this?
I slept like an hour and a half last night. Oh, I don't know what happened.
No. Well, you got a lot of stuff going on. You got things coming up.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like double fisted a coffee and a Red Bull like at 4 o'clock.
That might do it.
Yesterday. That was a bad idea.
Well, you got to prepare for not getting sleep, so this is good conditioning.
Yeah,
you have been kidding.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah. Get yourself really tired before the kid arrives. And you're
yeah,
good.
He fell asleep in the delivery room. It was really irresponsible.
Oh man. Okay. So we've had a
had a fun track day, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. So this weekend, I finally took the EF, my hatch, my Civic, to the track. We were shooting a section for a upcoming video about the Civic, the EG Civic. Getting a final track day with that. So I decided, hey, how about I weasel myself into getting a free track day out of it?
Yeah.
By having my car also hauled out there. Heber, our shop mechanic, and I, we did a lot of buttoning up on my EF before we went out last week. So
what kind of buttons are we talking
about? Well, we had to redo the brake cylinder, the master cylinder, because the one that was on the car was too small, so we put a bigger one on there to push more fluid to the bigger calipers. Then did a coolant flush, got a temp gauge in there. I put some new upper control arms on it. So yeah, I was ready and it was really fun. I was only there to get like one session out of it.
What was your hot lap?
I don't know. I didn't time anything.
Oh,
I was just feeling it out. It was at Streets of Willow. Car felt really good. That thing burns oil. It's a Honda, so I guess that's pretty common. There's no, the exhaust system is not complete. There wasn't like a test pipe situation. Like I have an exhaust system on there, but it's not connected to the header. And the header is like underneath the hole where the shifter is. So every time I would let off and it would burn oil, just a big cloud of smoke would go directly into the cabin.
Shift boot or anything,
no shift boot or anything. So it's just coming right. Yeah. That just coming right in.
That's bad.
At first it freaked me out because I was like, that's a lot of oil.
Yeah.
And then I remembered Brian Gillespie telling me, hey man, every track day with a Honda, you're just topping that oil off all day. So I was like, okay, this is normal. It's fine. It was a lot of fun, man. I'm really glad.
And that's a high quality Valvoline that you're smelling, by the way.
It was. But man, when I was building it, you know, I spent a good amount of money on like quality stuff. Like the exterior of the car is pretty beat up now. It's pretty ugly, but everything mechanically, I decided to buy like quality stuff. And at the time I was like, ugh. I mean, I'm only like 11 grand into the car right now, but it's still, when you're buying parts, like that's a lot.
You put a B18 in it?
Put the B18 in it. Yes. But man, once I got out there and started like I got a hybrid shifter for it, I was like, I'm glad I spent money on this.
It's all worth it.
Yeah. The limited slip. I'm like, I'm glad I spent money on that.
Yeah.
So next is seats. Cause it still has the stock seats in it. And I was just getting thrown around as I was doing the turns and stuff. But it was really fun.
That's cool.
I just love that Civic, man.
Yeah. I just recently started buying good stuff instead of cheap stuff, which is usually my MO.
The thing is like if you buy the cheaper, not, I'm not saying you have to ball out and get the most expensive thing. It is like a mid, like the biggest thing I've learned from doing high, low is like, if you're going to buy the low option, eventually you're just going to have to buy either that part again because it breaks, or you're going to want to upgrade, and you're going to end up spending more money had you just bought the mid part, the middle part.
I mean, that's what we learn, right? In the first place. Really, this theoretical mid car is probably the
perfect car. The best one. Yeah. Like, for example, on the Subaru, the low Subaru, we have the max speeding rods coilovers on it still. And it's actually on its second set right now, because the first set, the fronts like blew out almost immediately. And now when you drive it, like you know that the car is great, but the suspension is still, it just drives like shit on the street. It's terrible. Like, I want to try to find, there must be some coilovers in the shop right now that we can use on it. Some Tanes or something. Or even some Megan coilovers. Suspension on that car would feel a lot better than it is now. But that's my advice to you. If you're building a project car and you don't know what part to buy, don't buy the cheapest option. Don't buy the most expensive one, but something in the middle that
Jake
won't necessarily burn a hole in your wallet, but you'll be happy you did.
Read the reviews.
Yeah. There might be a cheap option that is good. Yeah, do your research.
Read the reviews, read the room.
Speaking of reading, let me read this teleprompter and get into our story. So we had a couple of really exciting and busy news weeks lately. Some stuff got past us. We can't dive into everything on the show, but one big one we couldn't let go was 2 weeks ago when NASCAR had its closest finish in Cup Series history with a margin of victory of 0.001 seconds.
Nuts. That was it. The picture, I can't even tell who is winning.
The race was between Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson, with Kyle Larson taking the dub on that one. Very exciting finish. And this Sunday, Brad Keselowski won at Darlington, driving a Mustang with a Castrol livery, immediately recognizable to anyone who played Gran Turismo growing up. It's like, it's the Castrol Supra livery.
We were just talking in the office last week how sick this livery is, and maybe we can take credit for the win because we were talking about how cool it was.
Yeah, that's how that works. pretty cool. The car looks awesome. Love that Mustang. Yeah, and dude.
Also, I don't know if this is old news at this point, but Jer also had his little.
Oh yeah, we should talk about that
NASCAR.
I mean, the video came out last week. I think we can talk about that. Jerry ran in the Cletus 500, the Freedom 500, and then the Indy 800.
Yeah,
over at Lucas Oil.
All you need to know is he did crash out of both races. Yeah, unfortunately,
they weren't his fault though.
Correct.
Yeah, things happened in front of him, and then he was involved in the incidents.
I think he would have been in the top five if he would have gotten lucky.
It's possible. Yeah.
He's a good racer.
He is a good racer. It was crazy. You know, a couple of years ago, I would be riding with Jerry and be like, okay, this guy, it was scary.
Scary Jerry, dude.
It was scary Jerry. But you could tell that he had the skill, like the talent, like the innate talent was there. You're just like, okay, this is insane. But then last year, he did his racing series with the Civic Type R.
Yeah,
the
with Skip Barber series. Skip Barber.
And now when you ride with Jerry, it's still scary, but you can feel the practice he's had, the experience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not a...
It used to feel like Dukes of Hazzard, and now it feels like a real race car driver.
Exactly.
But it's still scary as hell.
It was scary before because you're like, this guy doesn't have fear.
Yeah.
But now it's scary because he knows the limits of the car. Mm-hmm. He can feel the limitations of the car and exploit all of it. Dude, we were shooting with the Civic Type R a couple months ago for a video. I think it was like $50,000 Civic EG versus Civic Type R. And we were up in Malibu. We went Stunt Road, and then what's that other one? I think it lost. Is it Puma?
Puma. Okay.
I think it was Puma. Anyway, doing this loop, and like, dude, we're going around these turns. The car's like hitting bushes on the side of the road. Like, there's rocks that are jutting out, and they're like inches from the car.
Oh my God.
And I'm like trying not to.
You want to just be sweating. Like, break.
But
Jerry, your foot's like, going through the passenger.
Yeah.
What that car was designed to do, though. And Jerry, like, used all of it.
Every bit of it.
So sick.
I just watched a video of Carlos Sainz with his dad
in
a Ferrari. And both of them are just like, break, break, break. Like they switch off as like driver and passenger, yeah. and they're both just like terrified of each other driving.
Yeah, that's
and
how it is.
So it is. That's how.
So far, this season of NASCAR has been insane, but somehow it just got even more interesting, boys.
How, though?
The series that was founded on running from the police, the series that has stuck so closely to tradition that it didn't even use fuel injection until 2012, might be going hybrid.
Hybrid in NASCAR? Ugh, I hate that.
You are wearing the real tree camo hat right now, so yeah. I think that's trickling in your brain.
I've been in the woods.
Yeah?
At least twice.
So. You took that outdoor class.
Yeah, I took a survival class with Christina. Right. Yeah, I learned how to make it.
Start buying some gold afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so NASCAR has used 5.8 liter V8s for 50 years at this point. And, you know, it's common for most racing series to follow current and developing road vehicle technology. Now, those two statements, the V8 and the current technology thing I just said, don't exactly line up.
Are you doing the, I'm doing the War Max Boys
V8.
Thing?
V8, baby.
But yeah, so a move to hybrid technology would follow a number of other series like Formula One and IndyCar to a switch to hybrid power. IndyCar will be there soon.
Well, you know, I mean, NASCAR switched from five lug to center lock wheels.
Center lock wheels, disc brakes.
It's a slippery slope from there, right, guys?
Well, there's like tradition only goes so far before it's just like archaic. And hybrids are obviously faster, more efficient. I think it's just like a logical step, and it's not going to like make the racing any worse.
So when you say hybrid, though, I mean, what are we talking, like a V8 plus a hybrid drivetrain, or is it something else?
I'm not exactly sure, but the biggest reason for this move is that NASCAR has been trying to bring in more manufacturers to the series, yeah. have more competition. But since a lot of manufacturers are looking at those big V8s, they'd have to probably source those from current engine manufacturers that are already in the series instead of using their own technology. So in order to woo them in, it's like maybe the best way to do that is to open up the regulations a little bit and say, hey, okay, bring your hybrid systems to the series.
Companies like Dodge, Honda, and even Hyundai are looking to get into NASCAR, which is crazy.
It's a great marketing opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Dodge was in there.
They're not, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, they used to be, right?
They used to be for a long time, but then they left.
Hybrids are going
to
get the Brotherhood back in.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah, the Hyundai Brotherhood.
Pretty good.
Does Hyundai even make a V8?
There was one in the
Genesis,
Equus, the Genesis and the Equus 500 or whatever.
Oh,
it was a 5-liter V8.
The luxury sedan.
The luxury sedan.
Yeah.
This really validates the Kia boys now, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. Motorsports. But this would be very interesting. You know, imagine.
Think about it. Kia boys are like war boys in the real world.
That's true.
The real world known as Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean. If they go away from V8s exclusively, or look, maybe you have a hybrid system that uses a V8, or maybe you're someone like Toyota who has your twin turbo V6 hybrid setup, like in the Sequoia and Tundra and stuff. Bring that, modify that for racing competition. I mean, I think naturally people are going to be offended by this move.
Yeah,
like longtime NASCAR fans.
Yeah, they're going to be offended and they're going to be vocal about it too.
But
the majority of people are not going to care and not comment on
it. I don't know, man. NASCAR fans are pretty diehard, dude. I could see people being, you know, freaked out by this, but think about this. NASCAR spurred so much competition between manufacturers in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the reason that the 426 Hemi exists. That's the reason. You know, you got your 429 Ford engine in there racing NASCAR. But now it's like, it makes me excited because it's like, okay, these changes that the manufacturers are going to make to their hybrid drivetrain to make them competitive at this stage, that technology is going to trickle down. It's possible that, dude, think about Toyota taking their NASCAR engine and making it emissions compliant, maybe detuning it a little bit, but just throwing it straight into a car like the Supra.
Hell yeah.
You know?
That'd be sick.
Or Lexus using it in a big sedan, you know, like that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
BMW doing the same thing.
BMW.
Hyundai.
All right, now we're
the Hyundai NASCAR homologation car. That's a cool idea. That's exciting. So.
Yeah. Kona N with a hybrid V8.
Yeah.
You know, we drove the E-Ray a while back, which was a, you know, an American car that, that now has a hybrid V8
mid-engine combination. Yeah, all-wheel drive.
Dude, one of the funnest cars. The E-Ray was really sick to drive.
Super cool. Yeah. So, NASCAR fans, I definitely, I sympathize with you. This is scary for sure, but at the same time, I think if they follow through with it, like, there's a possibility for some really cool,
yeah,
exciting cars coming down the pipe that'll just smoke a V8 car all day.
Wow. So IndyCar is going to change this year, turn into a hybrid. I think that makes sense because it's the closest to F1.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah,
yeah,
America's open wheel series.
Just add a KERS system to it, you know?
Yeah, well, just it's easy as that.
I just can't wait till they start letting AI drive.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I want to see, is nobody in the car.
Nobody in the car. There's actually a racing series.
I know.
I think it'd be cool to drop those AI powered cars into cars with, into races with real human drivers.
Make them both race each other.
A couple weeks ago, they had it was like a, I don't know if it was a robo race event, but the AI cars like immediately like shut down.
You know, I wish that they would put, they would do a Miata NASCAR.
Oh, wow. Nice. It's funny you say that.
That's because interesting.
Here at Donut, we like the Mazda Miata so much that we made it our first project car. We put it on a shirt. We just had Bob Hall on the show a couple weeks ago. The guy that made the Miata possible. He was really funny. Go check that episode out.
Definitely.
But Toyota's coming out with a car that might be as good or even better at being a Miata than the actual Miata.
Whoa.
That's a statement.
That's a big statement.
Bob Hall is punching here right now.
Yeah.
He's like, you had me on the show. You led me to think we were friends, and you're going to say that?
Yeah. No, we are not friends, Bob Hall. I'm just kidding.
No, we are. We love Bob.
Last week, a rumor that Toyota had given its SFR concept the green light spread like wildfire. The front engine rear wheel drive two-seater concept that was revealed all the way back in 2015 and had been forgotten by pretty much everyone. Pictures of this look kind of like a Miata, like
it's
a
giving
Lotus.
It's giving K car. It's giving
AutoZam.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
giving AutoZam.
Well, it was developed by basically K car companies, right? It was Daihatsu.
Yes,
and who's the other? Daihatsu and Suzuki developed it, and they famously make the world's tiniest cars.
Little cars,
Cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
I love the
it
cappuccino.
Is giving cappuccino.
Yeah. So SFR allegedly stands for small front engined rear wheel drive.
Isn't
which
that convenient?
Wow. Isn't that convenient? It also kind of gets confused in my head with the FRS.
Mm-hmm.
Just like name it.
What did FRS stand for?
Front engine rear wheel.
Well, the FRS is no longer. Now it's just the GT86. That's what they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Scion's not around anymore, man.
Oh,
you gotta get that through
it was
your head.
Scion,
dude.
Everything is Scion in my head, dude. So reports say it will be powered by 150 horsepower, 1.3 liter turbo three cylinder.
Ooh.
I could see people swapping in the GR Corolla engine in this. Making what was
another
that 280
that's
horsepower?
A 300 horsepower a little mill there.
Yeah.
What does a Miata make now?
I want to say 200.
Yeah, or 180 to 200.
Yeah, in that zone. Yeah. But this car is smaller.
Okay, it's got a little better power to weight ratio.
Yeah,
yeah.
I bet it's going to be like 1,700 pounds.
That's light.
That is so
das
light.
Light.
Das light, dude.
That's light.
They said it's going to be priced around 22.7, which is amazing for enthusiasts.
That would be pretty insane. It would make it one of the cheapest new cars for sale right now. But you know, we've been saying for years now, it's like the reason people don't buy sports cars anymore is because they don't have as much expendable income. They can't justify spending $30,000 plus on a fun car that doesn't do their other stuff.
Yeah.
So
certainly
their
not
other
people,
stuff,
mm-hmm. not people our age, like. People who have money can do that.
Yeah, but definitely.
There's sector of the market where that has gone since the 90s.
Yeah,
that,
people under 30.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of great used cars, too, for that price range. So
that's
it's hard to want to buy a new car.
Yeah, right exactly. So this would be pretty insane. I mean, even if it was 25 grand, I think that would be a huge boon for kind of like the sports car market.
What could you get for 25 grand? Besides that, you know,
I mean, only
have to be
used. Yeah.
Yeah, Only but you could stuff. Get a, easily get a Miata, maybe like a ND Miata.
Mm-hmm. I feel like 22-25 grand is pretty good for like the base level. This 150 horsepower, you know, base version.
Yeah.
I could see this going up to like 40 with like a, you know, slightly bigger
dealer
engine.
Markups, and then like people just like buying it just to flip it is going to be annoying. But that's even if we get it in the US, there's not a certain chance that we're going to get it.
It's got to pass crash test certification.
When was the last time Daihatsu made a US legal car?
Wasn't Daihatsu no. What's the company that's owned by Chevy? Is it Daewoo or Daihatsu?
Daewoo.
Daewoo. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
Daewoo Lanos.
Yeah. Giorgetto Giugiaro.
What?
Did I stutter?
Yeah, for you know, for all the great things that Giugiaro did, he did design a couple divisive
cars. They can't all be zingers, dude.
Yeah.
That's what I say about anything. All right, we saw your comments about this next story last week and thought now would be a great time to talk about it. Red Bull's RB17 is getting some renewed attention thanks to Red Bull's F1 chief design officer Adrian Newey leaving the team and will reportedly be spending his time on this hypercar, the RB17.
Ooh, thing, that's right. The specs on this thing are insane.
Yes. It was first announced back in 2022, designed, developed, and manufactured entirely in-house by Red Bull. That's insane. Huh. The RB17 is supposedly designed to be an F1 car for the road.
So it's like the Mercedes One or the Aston Martin Valkyrie.
I believe they helped Aston Martin with the Valkyrie for a little bit, weren't they? And then Aston Martin took over.
Hmm.
Yeah, so pretty interesting stuff. This will have a naturally aspirated 1,000 horsepower V10. Rumored to be able to rev to 15,000 RPM. Now that's some VTEC right there, baby. It has a mid-engine placement.
Oh no, Nolan is fully Honda.
Bro, when I first hit, okay, VTEC with an open header.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee.
Put it in the air. Awesome. And by put it in the air, I mean the oil that's burning through your cabin.
Into my lungs.
Yeah.
So it also has a 200 horsepower electric motor. Pretty sick. This thing is going to weigh less than 2,000 pounds, supposedly. That's insane.
I don't know how, like, we joke about usable performance. Like, that is too much power for that light of a car.
An F1 car doesn't have 1,000 horsepower, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Does it really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I've been out of the loop for a little while.
But, like, imagine driving an F1 car on streets of LA with, like, potholes and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's not
gonna be good. You're gonna have to like know exactly the route you're taking.
Yeah. This is like maybe it's track focused.
Track focused car with a top speed of around 220 miles per hour. So again, about an F1 car's top speed. Only 50 of these babies will be made, and they're gonna cost over $6 million.
So not that bad.
Dude, there's a house in never mind.
No, tell it.
Well, I was walking by, we were walking to the beach yesterday. And we go by this house. It's a little bungalow, like a literally like 300 feet from the sand.
Yeah.
In between all these apartment buildings. It's for sale. I was like, okay, I'll have to remember that address for later. I'm not going to tell you because otherwise you're going to know where I live. But, or the general area. But I go on the listing on Redfin.
Yeah.
$5 million for a 740 square foot one bedroom house. What? They're looking for that development, that developer money. Because next door, there's also a lot that's been, like, it has the carve out for the parking garage. Anyway, they want to do the same thing. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway. Yeah.
That's so, gonna be some nice luxury.
That's a
740 square foot house, one bedroom, a block from the beach, or this car. Which one are you taking?
This car, because then you haven't, you can get out of LA.
Is this my only house, and is this my only car? Those are the questions. Because if it's my only house, I'm living there forever. I don't know. I might just do that. And then I just, you know, drive.
I think I'd take
but then you
got to
hear the Venice Beach bongo circle.
Don't tell
them
where it
Sunday.
Is. They're going to know where it is, dude.
Anyway, this thing is the RB17 is going to debut at the Goodwood Festival of Speed on July 12th. There's still time to book our tickets, gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's going to be sick. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm going to be there already driving the Hispano Suiza. Both the 1912 version and the 2024.
All right, now time for some good old American car news, baby. Can I get an eagle screech?
Oh, that's actually a red-tailed hawk. Eagles actually have more of a whine.
It's true. Over the past few years, the so-called Carolina squat has taken truck culture by storm in some parts of this beautiful country. If you don't know, the Carolina squat is basically a reverse rake. The front of the truck is lifted and the back is lowered or squatted.
Yeah, oh, they know about it. They know all about it.
That, yeah, we made that. A video.
What's the other word for it? The Memphis lean.
Cali lean.
Cali lean.
Yeah.
The Memphis lean.
Because it started in California based on like Baja trucks.
Our truck, the Ranger right now, has a little bit of a squat to it, but that's because it's got hundreds of pounds of tires in the back. And
that rake helps it so it can, when you're going up jumps, so it lands.
Yeah, you want the rear of the truck to land first. You don't want to like nose over into a whoop.
A dune or a cacti.
Yeah. So yeah, just that weight balance. I've heard it described many times at this point now, like a dirt bike rider kind of like leaning back, going over whoops, keeping that weight balance on the rear tire. That's what you want in your desert racer. But you know, people saw that look back in the 90s and said, hey, I don't go desert racing because I live in South Carolina. I just want my big old truck to look like that.
And I want way less visibility on the road.
There's a lot less visibility. There's been a lot of videos, viral videos in the last few years of people hitting lowered cars in front of them, like Corvettes. They didn't see them. Mm. We actually, like you guys mentioned, we did a video on this a couple years ago. I actually called up the North Carolina government, the Department of Transportation over there, and asked them specifically, like, hey, what do you guys have any data on this? Can you point me to some research about like numbers of crashes? Interestingly, they didn't really have anything. They didn't have any like concrete data to support this, their legislation in North Carolina.
Yeah. What's the spectrum of like, that's all right.
Yeah, exactly. That would like what constitutes a squatted truck like that?
Well, it's like it's obscenity, right? You just know it if you see it.
That's exactly what it is. It's like that's kind of how they put it. It's like, you know it when you see it. You can judge whether it's safe or not based on that. So I guess I understand, but like,
I got to be honest, guys. I was a huge hater for years of the Carolina squat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I came around recently because at the end of the day, it's stance, right? Mm-hmm. And what is stance but taking the aesthetics of motorsports and applying it to a street driven car. Mm-hmm, and it's not really that different than what we do over here when we put a little bit of extra camber, some, you know, get the wheels a little more.
I would agree
offset.
With you, but I do, you know, you see those videos where like some ridiculously squatted truck smashes into a car in front because they didn't see it because they're, you know, and I get it.
I think with like, have you seen the comparisons of 9-year-olds standing next to a modern truck?
That's already a problem anyway. A stock truck.
About getting hit in the head.
Like a Ram, the hood is so high already. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to like lift that up even more because there's like no car that you could see unless you're leaning crazy forward, like like trying to look down. Your visibility is horrible.
Yeah. Again, going back to that though, it's like I wasn't able to find any research or studies or data around these laws. So I don't know, the obscenity argument can be bent and used to target people where it's just like, I don't know. I think it is. It's a
there's
really
too much
complex
of a gray area.
It's a gray area. Yeah. And
there are examples of people who are frankly driving dangerous vehicles that are menace to the road.
I just don't want to see anyone turn into pink mist on the street because someone's Carolina squatted and they can't see.
But I also don't want someone to be pulled over because their car looks a certain way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just that alone is an inconvenience. And
they couldn't afford the rear suspension
or that. Sure. Yeah. Or, you know, like profiled because of the car they drive.
It's funny you bring that up, Nolan. Japanese retailer Up Garage.
Oh, my God.
Recently had their U.S. launch in Garden Grove here in Southern California. And it was messy. So if you're not familiar with Up Garage, they're a Japanese company that specializes in selling secondhand auto parts. They've developed a reputation for selling quality stuff at fair prices and for great customer service.
Yeah, Japanese company, right? This is like one of those classic, you walk into the tuner shop and all the steering wheels are hanging from the walls
so
in the candy store.
This opening, there was, we'll get to why that transition made a lot of sense. There was some profiling of other people going, there was some profiling going on at this event. So to give some background on this, I was talking to Jimmy about this. By the way, Jimmy did a great job in today's video We infiltrated a PT Cruiser. We infiltrated the PT Cruiser community. Yeah. Jimmy did an incredible job.
You did a great job, Nolan.
Well, thank you. But like Jimmy, anyway, you just got to watch it. Anyway, Jimmy was talking to me. He's our resident JDM head. He was saying that this Up Garage is a very successful company over in Japan because I guess in Japan, people don't like doing private sales. They prefer just dealing with a store and just not having to meet up with strangers, arrange that. Like over here, it's much more common to just like message randos and be like, hey,
come I'm going to my house.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give me your address so I can come buy something from you. Yeah.
Would you consider two Tootsie Rolls for your exhaust?
Yeah. Like,
I come to your house, give you two Tootsie Rolls for your exhaust?
It's very common over here for us to do that sort of thing. Up Garage eliminates the middleman. You bring your parts to them, they give you money, and then someone else can buy. It's like a not a pawn shop, but
consignment,
like
sort of
consignment or like GameStop.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, how much do I get for this copy of LA Noir that I paid $60 for 2 weeks ago? I'll give you $4. Okay, that seems fair.
Press X for suspicion.
So they had their launch over here in the US, but some of the prices were eye-watering. One of the most egregious examples were the widely publicized Carbon Kepler RX-7 seats for $19,000 on the shelf, and some Work VS KF wheels for over $7,000. Those are expensive.
That's what we have in the E36, right?
Do we really?
We've got VS KFs on the E36.
Ooh, we didn't pay $7,000 for them, though, did we?
They weren't cheap.
I don't think so. No. Work wheels, I was looking, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 pretty easily.
Seven is a lot.
Yeah.
For wheels.
But they must be like that must be a vintage wheel that's like not in production right now. So that makes sense.
$19,000 for seats.
I wouldn't pay more than two Tootsie Rolls for those seats.
So these weren't isolated. These weren't isolated examples. A lot of what they had for sale was 2 to 3 times what it would cost in Japan or through secondhand channels like Facebook Marketplace or eBay. I think when I saw these photos, I was thinking like, okay, this is clearly a high price to spread, like, to go viral,
yeah,
to spread the word that this place is open in the first place. That theory makes sense to me, you know?
I can't imagine everything's that overpriced there, too. I mean, there's probably going to be a few examples of like, okay, these are the God spec, holy grail seats.
And yeah, exactly. Like, you go in, you're charging the price people to get people in the store. Someone like a Jimmy to come in and be like, well, look at those seats. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then end up buying like a quick release for your steering wheel
for like $300.
Exactly. So that's not to say that there weren't fairly priced parts, Max, or that the chaos surrounding the opening was mostly even Up Garage's fault. That's right. So this is what we're talking about here. Garden Grove police camped out in anticipation of the opening to monitor cars coming and going from the event and handed out a total of 127 citations for things like illegal modifications and not having a front license plate. The California special. I got a ticket for that, and I still don't rock a front license.
The reality of driving a modified car in California is like most of the time cops don't really care. Like driving without a front plate is not that big of a deal. Most people don't have front plates.
You won't get a ticket for it. There's two instances where you'll actively get a ticket for this. One, you're already pulled over for something else like speeding. That's what happened to me. Or two, like Chloe, her car got popped for that because a parking attendant saw it and like it was probably near the end of the month and needed to hit their quota.
The quota.
But to get pulled over for that, I mean, they're using this event as an opportunity to just like basically say, we don't want tuner cars around here. We don't want your store to be here.
Yeah.
It's just an easy prowling ground for this sort of thing.
But that sucks because like, you know, some cop in Garden Grove is like a car head and knew about this event before it happened. Was like, oh, you know, like we could probably make a lot of our quota.
It's very likely, yeah. So they even posted about it on Instagram. Last week, Garden Grove PD was made aware of a possible car meet scheduled for April 26th at the Eastgate Shopping Center. Due to past illegal activities that come from these events, the Neighborhood Traffic Unit, or NTU, proactively responded to the location to monitor the activity, guys. Yesterday, at 7 p.m., officers observed cars arriving in the hundreds, causing massive congestion and gridlock in the area. Mm. Once the shopping center was full, vehicles flooded the surrounding business lots and many residential neighborhoods, generating numerous calls for service. I'm on my Dan Carlin shit. Let me keep going. NTU, with the assistance of patrol officers, began immediate enforcement, resulting in 127 citations with close to 300 violations. One vehicle was towed and 15 vehicles referred to the state referee. That's a bummer.
That sucks.
For street legal compliance, we will continue to monitor the area and conduct enforcement as needed.
Weak.
So for anyone who doesn't live in California, going to the state ref means that you have to uninstall illegal parts, get it recertified to be road legal.
Yeah, it's a big, big pain in the ass. Yeah. And
then you have to put the parts back on without them.
Well, dude, I went to a Valvoline oil change station recently to get my car oil changed because, you know, I don't got all the time to do that by myself.
No, I go to Valvoline too.
And one of the guys working there was like, oh, like, let me show you my Camaro. And I'm like walking out. He's talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, I got state ref like a year ago. I had to take all this stuff off. I got the tune off. And then, you know, I'm going to do it again, though. I'm going to put all that stuff back on. I was like, bro, you're like 23. You paid thousands to have all this done. And plus the fines and everything. Like, don't do that.
That's called being about that life.
He is about that life for sure. So it's a big pain in the butt. It's just again,
that's not a reflection on Up Garage though. That Up Garage, you know, they're part of the scene.
Yeah,
they're providing a service.
It's just like a lot of things happening at once for this launch. Just pretty bad luck, like the prices being super high on some of these parts. I think that was kind of like a backfired marketing move.
Nice car. Then
the police there popping people.
It sucks because like if there was a street takeover, then it's like, yeah, okay, pull people over for their license
plates, the thing.
Just so you can stop them. But
when there's takeovers, the police don't do anything because they're outnumbered. You know, that's what they say.
Local business. These cars were all there to like literally support the local economy.
Yeah,
and it sounds like they weren't really causing havoc or anything.
No, doing just traffic, which, oh, we're in LA. Traffic? Gridlock. Arrest. Go to any other shopping center.
Yeah, go to any other shopping station.
Shopping station.
Try spending a day at the Americana, dude.
Yeah.
Pull them over.
Try pulling over Glendale people at Americana coming out of Dune.
Yeah. Getting their nothing but cakes. but I don't know. It's just ridiculous. And they know it's a target rich environment. Mm-hmm. For these citations.
Yeah.
I think Up Garage is going to get some business from this, though. Because, I mean, we're talking about it, right?
We are.
I'm hopeful that they get some business. They're going to sell a lot of steering wheel quick releases.
If it was a publicity stunt for them to sell $19,000 seats, they got their publicity.
They definitely did. So it's not all negative, though. The prices aren't quite as they seem. Taxes included in the price. That's cool.
I love when people put tax in the price.
Up Garage is a good source for rare parts, and it's still growing. A lot of their business depends on locals coming in and selling them their parts, so there's a lot of potential for more growth, which is cool.
If you're close to Garden Grove.
We are not sponsored by Up Garage, even though we're saying some very kind things about them right now. So, despite the negativity around the launch, it looks like a majority of the community seems to be pretty excited that they're here in the first place. I think it's cool, you know?
I would love to go to a store and buy parts for my Z.
It's like a new kind of, I just don't think we're quite used to this kind of business. And I'd like to go check it out. Garden Grove's quite a drive from here, though.
Yeah, but you hit up Super G, get some RC drifting in while you're over in the area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plugging all kinds of brick and mortars today.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, actually, Super G, big shouts out to Super G over there. If you are into RC drifting and you haven't been there yet, make the trek. Okay. Friends of the channel.
Another brick and mortar we got to plug. Dynasty Typewriter, May 25th.
Whoa.
Come see our live show.
That's right.
We only got a couple tickets left. We want to sell it out. Come see the boys. We got some special guests coming.
Mm-hmm.
Jared's going to open with some stand up.
Yeah.
Car based stand up.
That guy's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So buy your tickets. We'll drop the link. Yeah,
definitely. Can't wait for the show. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. It's going to be fun, dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Might go to Musso and Frank's afterwards.
Oh, dude, we all just ate steaks. We went to see the Furiosa premiere and we all went and ate steaks and it felt like we were some jabronis eating steaks.
Nolan got the filet mignon. I got the ribeye.
I got the New York strip.
And the movie was great.
I still feel full from that. I still think I'm full. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to The Big Three. That was our show today. Follow Max at
Max Maddox.
Max Maddox. That's the one you're going with. All right. You got a couple accounts.
No, he hasn't done the 35 millimeter.
Yeah, I used to do the film thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Follow Max at Max Maddox. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Big thank you to our crew. As always, though, we got Nick Giamuso, Gavin Kinzel, Audrey Holden, and Mark Schroeder. Guys, thank you so much.
See you next week.